Welcome to a special encore presentation of Let's Consider the Source, the weekly media issues talk show on Sirius XM Public Radio. I'm your host, Bob Mann. Back in January, we did a program with documentary filmmaker Patrick Creedon about his new film entitled If You Build It. It's about a unique education project in the South. Now, the film had premiered back in January, which of course would make it dated material, but most of our discussion with Patrick was about the unique and special role that is played by the documentary filmmaker in today's changing media landscape. And so we're bringing it to you again, an encore presentation of our interview with Patrick Creedon. Before I talk about the film, I want to get into a discussion of something you and I were talking about on the phone before the broadcast began, and that's the role of the documentary filmmaker. On this program, Let's Consider the Source, we're always talking about how opinion is news, and it's hard to get real facts, and that investigative journalism just costs too much money for TV networks, stations, and newspapers these days. That gives the documentary filmmaker kind of a special role that he or she may not have had in the past. Talk a little bit about that.
No, I agree with that, Bob. I think that documentary filmmaking as a community is the importance of it is continuing to grow year after year. You hit the nail right on the head. Really great investigative journalism, which tended to be where newspapers really shined and some broadcast outlets really shined. They're struggling, like a lot of people in the media business. Newspapers are becoming few and far between. There's still some great ones out there, for sure. And television is becoming much more reliant on sort of more reality television fare and things like that. Documentary filmmakers, I think, are becoming a very important sort of eyewitness to what's happening in the world around us. And I'm really happy to sort of be a part of that community. It's a wonderful group of people.
But as an independent filmmaker, as a documentarian, you take a bit of a risk. You've also told me the story about a colleague who ended up with a $1 million lawsuit. We won't mention the name of the major oil company involved. We don't want them suing you or me. But this is the kind of thing that, in all seriousness, can make someone a little bit afraid to really go sniffing around the truth with major players.
Right. Well, I'll mention the the name of the company because they can come after me if they want. A colleague of ours made a documentary about Chevron and an oil spill that happened in Central America. Our colleague is a guy by the name of Joe Berlinger, just an outstanding filmmaker, and he ended up in a lawsuit with Chevron because Chevron said, your footage that you used to make this film is evidence for our lawsuit, our ongoing lawsuit, and therefore we would like all of your footage, and we'd like to see every single minute of what you shot. Well, that was over 600 hours of footage. Joe and the community around him sort of pushed back. Joe ended up appealing the case in New York State. He got a much more favorable ruling, and Chevron was able to see a small part of his footage. The judge ruled that they were able to see a few scenes that he had shot that were critical to the case. But in the process, Joe ended up running up a $1 million legal bill. And that's something that I think a lot of us think about as we head into our stories. I hate to say it, but an independent documentary filmmaker is no match for any multinational corporation. That'll be a very quick and very painful fight. So it's a concern that we're all facing, and it's one that I hate to say it, but we don't really know all the answers to yet. But to go back to your original point, I think that documentary films offer such an in-depth look at a story, and they can offer so many different sides to a story that a newspaper article or even a segment on 60 Minutes, which is one of my favorite shows, 60 Minutes segments are about 12 minutes long. You can only get so deep in 12 minutes. So what documentary films offer is a very in-depth, very colorful, oftentimes very emotional and moving look at a particular story. And I think that's really what draws so much of us to this kind of work.
A lot of people truly love your film, Patrick. As a matter of fact, a colleague of mine here at Caldwell College, John Yurko, runs a screening called Media Educators Association in New York City. He screened your film and said that a lot of people were very moved by it. So let's talk about If You Build It. First of all, let's talk about the location, because I think that's central to the story. Bertie County, North Carolina. Is this fairly typical Bertie County of rural America today?
I think it is. I think that in this small town, they're faced with a lot of things that a lot of small towns are faced with today. They have underperforming public schools. They have high dropout rates. They have high unemployment. There's a sense that in a lot of these communities, especially Bertie, that the best and the brightest young folks get their diplomas from high school and they take the first train that's leaving town, so to speak. So there's that brain drain that happens a lot of times. What we saw happen in our film is that these two young teachers, Emily Pilloton and Matt Miller, offered the kids a new kind of classroom. And in the process, they offered them an opportunity to feel more invested in their own town. I don't know how much you want to talk about the specifics of the film, but basically the curriculum is a design, build, sort of architecture curriculum. The kids took it for one whole year, fall semester, spring semester, and then even into the summer. They did a big homework assignment, which was a building that was designed and built by the kids and lives in the hometown today. It's still there. It's a farmer's market that they built.
So actually, Patrick, I do want to talk about the content of Studio H as a class, because it's interesting. We've seen other documentaries about education, many of them good, but they usually go to what Chris Christie was talking about the other day here in New Jersey, where we originate this program at Caldwell College. You know, it's heard nationally on Sirius XM, but we do it out of Caldwell College in New Jersey. We're right outside New York City. And Christie's State of the State address said, more hours of school, more days of school. A lot of these documentaries are calling for that, or for the elimination of teacher unions, or for more calculus, or whatever. But that's not really what went on in Studio H. Studio H did something which was very practical. Some academics might look at it with their nose turned up, but because it was so practical, it actually helped this very struggling county. So please do give us the details of exactly why they needed this farmer's market and what these kids learned by building it in Studio H.
Well, Emily and Matt, who are the two teachers, they are trained designers and architects, and they decided to take their skill set and bring it to a classroom. Because as designers and architects, frankly, they were kind of disappointed by the kind of work they were doing in their chosen fields. They had both had very sort of professional corporate jobs before and didn't really like what they were doing. And a big part of what they didn't like about it was that oftentimes designers and architects create something and then they hand it over to a community and walk away. And what happens oftentimes is that the people on the receiving ends of these buildings or programs or you name it, something that's been designed, they don't feel any sense of ownership of something that's been sort of designed by someone else, somewhere else, and left behind. So Emily refers to those as design bombs that are dropped from 30,000 feet. Emily and Matt felt very strongly that the skill set that young designers and young architects learn in graduate school is exactly the kind of skill set that young people anywhere could learn and take with them through the rest of their lives. So throughout the course of the year, these 10 young students who are in the film, they learn everything from, you know, blueprints and drawing and model making and research and sort of all the things that someone at the graduate school level would be learning.
So this is not glorified shop class by any means.
Oh, no.
I mean, they are learning design.
There were no little birdhouses that were built for your grandmother. Nothing against little birdhouses that are built for your
grandmother. We'll be getting emails from the birdhouse lobby soon.
I love birdhouses, don't get me wrong. But the idea is that this is sort of a really revved up shop class for the 21st century, and that under the proper guidance of trained professionals, young people can design and build things that really make a difference in their own communities. And so what ended up happening, it's kind of miraculous. What you see in the story is that on the first day of class, these 10 kids frankly didn't want to have anything to do with it. They couldn't quite even understand where Matt and Emily were trying to take them. But as the kids got more and more involved, and the mayor and the local townspeople saw that there was this something really exciting happening, they had a conversation with Matt and Emily and said, look, I know you haven't decided what you guys want to build this summer, but I'll tell you, we've always wanted to have a farmer's market here in town. We think it could create some jobs, it could launch some new small businesses, and it could create a sense of pride in this hometown. And Matt and Emily said, farmer's market, okay. They kind of gulped and thought, oh boy, that's maybe a little more than we had bargained for, but they love a challenge, so they did it. And what ended up happening was these young kids and Matt and Emily designed and built a 2,000-square-foot outdoor farmer's market pavilion, which created 4 new businesses, 12 new jobs, and a real sort of a new level of excitement in their hometown, not to mention the fact that those 10 kids who are now off in college, one of them's in the military, they're off doing different things, but they created something for their hometown, and that's something that no one can ever take away from them.
And these were kids, and of course you'll see this if you see the film, and we certainly recommend that you do if you can find it in your community. It is called If You Build It. The director, Patrick Creedon, is our guest right here on Let's Consider the Source. But the whole idea is that these were kids who had a tradition of hating school. One of the kids said when you were interviewing him that I'm carrying on a tradition. My grandpa hated school, my dad hated school, and I hate school. And it was a town where people just gave up. The businesses gave up after a flood, and now you had business plus kids who were interested in education. So it was working on a lot of levels.
Yeah, and that young man, his name is Stevie. He's actually now a sophomore at NC State. He made the dean's list his freshman year. And I think because of Matt and Emily, I know this is because of Matt and Emily because Stevie has told me, he saw that school could be something else than sitting in front of online education, which is primarily what he had been doing for the first 3 years of his high school education.
You're listening to Let's Consider the Source. I'm Bob Mann. This is our weekly media issues talk show on SiriusXM Public Radio. We're going to take a short break for the primary underwriter of this program, Caldwell College, and then get back with more of our discussion with Patrick. You're listening to XM Channel 121, Sirius Channel 205.
If you're considering a career in media, consider Caldwell College. We're located just minutes from New York City, the nation's media capital. But it's what happens on our 70-acre suburban New Jersey campus which is most important. Caldwell's communications department is designed to give you the preparation you need to compete in this constantly changing field. The radio studio used for this national broadcast is the same facility you will use to learn professional-level radio performance and production. Caldwell's primary emphasis is broadcast journalism, but we also provide great courses in screenwriting, TV production, video editing, and of course, communications theory. One course even allows students to attend discussions with filmmakers, screenwriters, and actors. The full-time faculty is comprised of working media professionals, including Professor Bob Mann, the host of Let's Consider the Source. Go to www.caldwell.edu, then click on the Academics tab for details. Caldwell College, the key to your communications future.
Bob Mann back here with more of Let's Consider the Source, the media issues talk show on SiriusXM. Please follow me on Twitter, my handle, at Bob Mann Media, B-O-B-M-A-N-N Media. Our guest this week, Patrick Creedon, a director, a documentarian. His new film is called If You Build It. It's about a very innovative program in education in the South, which is really a great story. And that's what I wanted to get into right here, Patrick, is the idea of a story. Emily and Matt had 2 points at least that I counted by watching the film, at which this whole thing was going to go off the rails. Maybe you can explain that to the audience, unless I'm giving away your entire film during the course of the interview. But also, I want to know about it from the point of the documentary filmmaker, because of the fact that you've invested a lot of time, you've hooked onto a story, and when the superintendent of schools got fired, or in the summer when they couldn't get the farmers market built in time, those are 2 times when you might have taken up a lot of digital footage and gone home yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point, Bob, and it's one that I think some audience members sort of recognize this, but others may not. When you're making a documentary film, there's 2 kinds of stories you can tell. You can tell a story about something that's already happened in history. You can look back and analyze that story. And in some ways, that's a little easier because you know the ups and downs of the story when you begin. When you make a movie like If You Build It, you know, you sort of are riding along in the story with the people who are in the movie. I mean, you're living the story with the characters who you're documenting. And in that sense, it is a much more of a gamble. You know, these films, our film, you know, it's, by the time you're done making it, it's a several $100,000 investment in time and money and travel, et cetera. And what's the frightening thing about it is that sometimes your story may not be a good one. The ending isn't that interesting, or, you know, you thought the story would go in a different way. With If You Build It, we ended up having just an incredible story, in part because of the challenges that Matt and Emily faced. I mean, literally, after the first day of class, they checked their emails and found out that the guy that had hired them was fired. And then a few weeks later, they found out that the school board had decided to pull their funding. You know, these are 2 kids who had moved. They had moved, I say kids, they're in their 30s. They had picked up and moved to this part of the country to spend an extended period of time there because they were really dedicated to teaching this kind of class. And next thing you know, they weren't getting paid. So there were all sorts of pushbacks and hurdles for them to overcome. And as filmmakers, I mean, to be honest with you, this movie took a lot longer to make than we thought. It was a lot more travel. It was a lot more complex of a story. So we had sort of funding challenges of our own. But I think that's part of why we love what we do, and we like the challenge of trying to tell a story. We like the story. We like the challenge of trying to shape a really interesting and dynamic story as it's happening. It's a wonderful sort of, it's a wonderful way to tell a story, and we've been doing it a long time. It's something we take a lot of joy in doing.
Patrick, what impact do you want this film to have? When people go to see it, what do you want them to come away with? The idea that innovation is key in education, or that this was just inspirational in one part of the country? What are you hoping is the end result of people seeing If You Build It?
Well, I can tell you that I've screened the movie all over the country. Audiences are really moved by the film, and it's a very inspiring and emotional and even entertaining and funny story. And so anyone who's interested in education or has young kids who they're trying to get through school, or anyone who's even interested in community development, this is really an entertaining and rewarding story for those people. I think the key thing is that education is not a one-size-fits-all proposition. No matter how good of a curriculum is that's been designed by someone sort of at the national level, if that curriculum doesn't somehow speak to the students and the community where that school exists, it may not be very successful. I think the best teachers and the best educators really have the finger on the pulse of their own community and their own students, and try to design curriculums that resonate with those kids. And that's definitely what you see in our story.
It's interesting because as a documentary filmmaker, some documentarians are advocacy journalists in some way. Mm. Some point and shoot and tell the story as it is. There's a little bit of both in If You Build It, because of the fact that in Bertie County, North Carolina, there's a happy ending. But the background on Matt going to Detroit was a sad ending where really good intentions turned out to be very much abused by the very people who were meant to be helped by his generosity and his ingenuity. Explain a little bit about how there's a happy ending here, but there's also a sad subtext.
I mean, it's very much an inspiring story, but I think that the best stories are the ones that have a lot of ups and downs, that have sort of an emotional roller coaster. And that's really what happens in this film. Despite the successes that Matt and Emily had in Bertie County and the successes that they have today with their new students, they've had some major setbacks. And one of them is told in the story. It's sort of Matt's backstory about a house that he designed with nothing but the best intentions. He designed a home when he was in grad school. He gave this home to a woman who had four young children. This all took place in Detroit. And 9 months later, the house was, she hadn't really taken ownership of the house. She hadn't paid her electric bill. She hadn't paid her insurance bill. Matt was just a grad student at the time, had no money of his own, and it kind of became a nightmare for him. And eventually they moved out, and Matt went back to visit a few years later, and the house had been destroyed, like really just torn apart. And this was a home that he built by himself with his bare hands. There are stories like that that happen, I think, when people go out and try to help others. There are stories, people who do charity work or sort of philanthropic work, anyone who does that kind of work, I think, has a story like Matt's from Detroit. And that's why I think this movie is really so important, is that this top-down charity model, I don't think it works very well. I think the best kind of way that you can help someone is to empower them and to give them a voice and to give them a seat at the table, if you will, when it comes to figuring out what a better tomorrow looks like in their own communities.
We began this program by talking about the philosophies and the roles of documentary filmmakers. You have a company called OCP Media, and you have a partner in that operation. Tell us about your philosophy of being a documentary filmmaker. Is it the Michael Moore approach that I have a cause? Is it the Edward R. Murrow, you know, harvest of shame approach? We're just going to show you what's going on here. What would you say is the OCP Media approach and philosophy to what it is to be a documentarian?
Well, that's a great question. Probably one that is an ongoing discussion here at our company. My partner is my wife, Christine O'Malley, and we've been making movies together for almost 10 years now. And I think that, you know, I think on one end of the spectrum you might have Michael Moore, who's, you know, very shamelessly an advocacy journalist. That's what he does, and he's very good at it. And he's made some really incredible films. On the other end of the spectrum, you might have like a Frederick Wiseman, or you mentioned Edward R. Murrow, maybe even a 60 Minutes, which is much more objective. It tries to be objective, tries to lay out the facts and let the audience figure it out. We are definitely much more in that camp. And I think that filmmakers like Michael Moore and others have every right to tell the stories how they want to tell them and the way they want to tell them. But the only danger there is that if all of the journalism out there becomes advocacy journalism, and it's just one side yelling at the other side, I think that the whole idea of good journalism is going to get lost.
It just became cable news is what it just would have become.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, every filmmaker has a point of view. And everyone, I don't think any audience member, frankly, is interested in watching literally like a fly on the wall movie where the camera never moves, and it's just that's like security cam movie. I mean, I don't want to see that. I'm not interested in seeing that. It'd be really boring.
You got to tell a story.
You have to shape a story. You have to tell a story. But I'll tell you one thing: for the kinds of films that we do. And certainly for our current film, If You Build It, I think you do mountains of research before you start telling the story. And then on day one, you sort of actively try to put all that aside and connect with the story and listen to the people who are living the lives that you're trying to document, and then follow the story and see where it goes. There's something less filtered about that approach. And those are the stories I've always enjoyed watching, and those are the stories we really like telling.
We only have a minute left, so I want to find out about multi-platform release and what happens after theatrical release for somebody who is in the part of the country where it's not that easy to see a documentary in a theater, since this is a national show. Are you on a multi-platform release right now? Will you
absolutely.
Soon be in video?
Yeah, absolutely. There's never been a better time to live sort of in small-town America, and yet you still want to see movies like this. We'll be in about 30 different cities and theaters, but we're also going to have we'll have a traditional DVD release. We'll be on Netflix, and we're even doing something called Tug. If you go to our website, which is ifyoubuilditmovie.com, on that website you can see, hey, do you want to have a screening in your community? And all you have to do there is just get 50 or 60 of your friends together, sell the tickets, and the movie will take place where and when you want to do it. So there's all sorts of different ways to get great movies to your hometown, and not just through Netflix. Netflix is great, but there's also something really cool about turning down the lights and sitting and watching a movie with a room full of people. And that model, that Tug model, is becoming more and more popular.
Patrick, it was a pleasure speaking with you, not only about If You Build It, but also about documentary filmmaking in general. And I certainly recommend the film If You Build It. Patrick Creedon, our guest right here on this edition of Let's Consider the Source.
If you're considering a career in media, consider Caldwell College. We're located just minutes from New York City, the nation's media capital. But it's what happens on our 70-acre suburban New Jersey campus which is most important. Caldwell's communications department is designed to stress the preparation you need to compete in this constantly changing field. For more information, go to www.caldwell.edu, then hit the Academics tab for more details. Caldwell College, the key to your communications future. Let's Consider the Source is also a production of Media Educators Association, a not-for-profit organization established to foster a better understanding of the power of media and film in society today. MEA presents the Saturday Morning Film Festival in New York City. Members attend advance preview screenings of new Hollywood, independent, and foreign language films from film festivals around the world. Whenever possible, filmmakers join us for discussions of their projects. For further information, go to mediaeducators.org.
That's it for this edition of Let's Consider the Source. The producer and creator of this program is yours truly, Bob Mann. The co-producer and technical supervisor is Nick Amabile. The associate producer is John Yurko. This program is produced by the Communication Arts Department at Caldwell College in Caldwell, New Jersey, in association with Mann Media Incorporated and Media Educators Association. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the producers, underwriters, or Sirius XM Radio. If you have any comments or questions, please email me, rmann@caldwell.edu. That's R-M-A-N-N at Caldwell, C-A-L-D-W-E-L-L.edu. I also invite you to follow me on Twitter, @BobMannMedia. Of course, we want you to join us every week on Sirius XM Public Radio as we discuss the nation's most important and interesting media issues. But before we examine any issue, let's consider the source.